all-out assault on the voice of God's people right now. And there's tension and there are things that are taking place. And I want to encourage you to spend more time in God's presence and allow him to break some things off your life so that you don't get shackled by it. You don't get shackled because you can. And so I believe that we have lost the ability to be able to call a spade a spade. And this is a problem, especially in the body of Christ, because we have settled for a watered down version of the gospel, which is supposed to be powerful. And it's supposed to set people free. And so if you are amongst those that believe that, you probably are in the tension of the church not being what it's supposed to be right now. And so God is doing something to get the church ready and getting us into a position where we can speak it. You can just tell there's just a lull, and I want to call it the quiet before the storm, a good storm. And God is getting his people ready. And I don't care what's happening in politics. I don't really care what's happening in government. You don't look at that. You look at Jesus Christ and who he is. He's the way, the truth, and the life. We pay attention to what's going on, but we're not ruled by it. If you are ruled by it, then we need to assess who our allegiance is to. I'm going to say that again. If you are ruled by what you see in the media and what you hear your friends talk about, your allegiance is in the wrong place. You have pledged allegiance to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who you pledge allegiance to. So we are talking about something today that a lot of people struggle with because we have bought into this belief system that our family is our lifeline. It's our lifeline. And while it can be a blessing, it could also be something that is used as a hindrance to you. And when I started thinking about this, immediately the Lord gave me the scripture and said, let's get after it. And the reason why I think he did this is because this is something that's prevalent right now in our church that God is taking a lot of people through. The emotional healthy aspect of the church is something that we put on a pedestal because we believe that it's something that God is trying to free people from so they can actually walk in freedom. And if you go and you dive into the stories of people, a lot of them land back into what happened in their families. What happened with mom? What happened with dad? And so there is an attachment syndrome that takes place back into your family of origin that God is trying to break. And so anytime you're attached to something that is not healthy, it is hard to get unattached from that. Ask anyone who's tried to lose weight for any amount of time what the struggle's been like to actually lose it. Because the craving to go back to what was comfortable is a bigger draw than actually doing the thing that's necessary to keep the weight off. And so wherever you are in that process, when it comes to being emotionally healthy, you realize that the draw to go back to what's comfortable is always there because the difficulty of being free from that is a lot harder. Because that means that you have to set boundaries in place, that you have to do the hard things and work toward it. Work toward it. It is not something that God just gives you like a pill. It is something that you have to work toward. Cry towards, break free from. And so when you look at scripture, Jesus is very specific when he talks about your relationship with your family. So specific that he talks about in Matthew chapter 10, he says this: everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. Stop. We are in a position of having the opportunity whether to accept the fact that Jesus is who he says he is and proclaim that, or deny before the world that he is the Son of God and what he's done for you. So the scripture says that you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So you have a testimony of what God has done for you. If nothing else, he has brought you from death over into life. And he's given you a new name and a new nature. But let's get down into what he's actually really broken you free from. And only you can understand and assess what that is. He says, proclaim who I am before man, and when you get to heaven, I'll tell him who you are. But if you decide not to, I'm going to deny you before my Father. It's one thing to be denied by a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It's one, another thing to be denied by God himself. So if you want to feel or be in a position of abandonment or being withheld from, God said, don't do it my way. The one thing I've asked you to do is I've asked you to declare who I am and to do it publicly. If I could die on a cross publicly, you could stand up for me publicly. But if you decide not to, I don't really know you. That is a tough scripture because we highlighted it last week, if you remember. There are many on that day who are going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done all these great things for you? And the Lord's going to look at him and say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Well, what do you mean? No, I never knew you. We never had a relationship with one another. It's not that God doesn't know your name, but God doesn't know you. He doesn't have your heart. And then he goes on to say this. This is where I want to get to today. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. If you love your father or your mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. So it's an exciting scripture that highlights how God sees you and your family. He said, I place the lonely in families. I do that. I'll take the orphan and I'll place them in families and give them a home. He also says that you've got a father, you've got mother. There are relationships that you have in your immediate family. There are also relationships that you have in your extended family. But he said, if you love any of those more than you love me, it's not going to work. And you've seen it that way, if you're honest. Because anytime you elevate people into a position where only God can be, it doesn't work for you. It doesn't work. I don't care what God has given you, it is a gift on loan. And God says, if you love that thing more than you love me, we can't know one another like we should know one another. And why is it this way? And it's simple, because it's for the best. It's for the best. God did it this way because he knew, if you remember in Romans 1, how easy it would be for you to start to elevate people and worship them as opposed to worship me. And the reason why that chapter is there is to point out the depravity of man and how far man can go when living apart from God. So if you decide that what God has given and what God has created is more worthy to be worshipped than him, God said, you will then reap the repercussions of what that relationship looks like. He said, if you want crazy, I'll give it to you. But just so you know, this is what's going to happen. I want you to picture yourself on the other side of crazy. You already have thoughts and things that are contrary to God's word, but I want you to think of yourself on the other side of God's grace of crazy. If God ever said to you, I'm going to let you have it your way. Because of the magnitude of the choices that God has given us, many people choose to do it their own way. Because it's easier in their mind to do it their own way than to worship a God who's going to require something of them. Because, again, we go back to this idea that we are owners of our life. I own my life, and you don't. You don't. You didn't create yourself. Your eye color is not your own. God created it. He understood who you were and how you were going to be delivered. He formed you and knit you apart in your mother's womb. He understands your makeup. He knows who you are. And so when you can wrestle with that and come to grips with the fact that God loves you and he has a plan for your life and that he is the one that you're supposed to worship, you can understand the relationship that you're supposed to have with your families. Your families. Well, my family is everything to me, and it's okay. But there will come a time where you will have to wrestle with who's first. Ask anyone who's lost a loved one prematurely in their mind, or even lost a kid prematurely in their mind, who has to be first? Who has to be? Because the power source cannot come from them. Because you can't recover from that in your own self. And so if you're not connected to the right source, how can you deal with abandonment or the loss of something so deep? And God said you can't. If you're not connected right, you can't deal with it. But when you understand that I give and I take away, then you can still bless me in the midst of it, and you can properly begin to, by my grace, begin to overcome. But if you don't, you'll never make it. That's why you understand that what you have in your life can be taken away, and you hold it open loosely because you need a sure foundation in your life. It can't be your mom and it can't be your dad. They can be gone. What will you do when what you did your whole life was rely upon what your dad said, when he's no longer there and God takes him out of the picture and now it's just you and Jesus? What will you do when all the crutches that you leaned on, God kicks out and says, now lean on me? What will you do? Better to be in that place than to wait until it happens. And then not to know what to do. People kill themselves over that stuff. They kill themselves over things that they lose. They get high on stuff just to numb the pain inside of the loss that they feel. And Jesus said, if you'll just do it my way and realize, love me more, you'll be in a better place so that when things do come, even though they might hurt, you can take it and keep moving. That's the place you want to be, because you're not an owner. You're not an owner. You're a steward. And that you were made for God's good purpose and pleasure. God said, I just made you because I wanted to. And I wanted a relationship with someone, and I wanted to do life with someone and share the riches of the glory of my inheritance with you. Everything else you get is there to complement and help you get to that point. But when it rises up to become the point, God says it's got to come down. I don't care what you think you know about God. God said, I will show you. I will show you what it looks like. Even over the past year, he said, I will show you your allegiance when I begin to topple government and I begin to expose things and things how they're not supposed to be. I'll begin to expose stuff just to show you where you were looking. Just to show you. And because you know it was. You know how it is. Let's just be really honest. When you're talking to someone and you're not really talking to them, and you're looking at the hottie that came in the back room, you're like, how you doing? That's how God said, this is what my people do. They look at me, but when they see something they like, they look over. And then they come back like this. But because they haven't surrendered that area of their life toward me and their allegiance is really not to me, it draws them and pulls them. And what they really crave is exposed. And that craving that is exposed draws them away, and they're enticed by it, and it leads them into sin. And we know that the wages of sin is death. And so God said, if you want death, by all means, follow the draw. But if you want eternal life, if you want life in me, stay with me. It's not to say you're not going to get distracted, but stay with me. I picture God like this, just going with you. I see you, but just stay with me. Just say, I know, just stay right here. God, just keep looking at me. Keep looking at me. Keep looking at me. Come, but we're doing this all the way around. But she looks good. He looks good. But I like that. And all. But I like that. But this is what they said. No vaccine. No vaccine. But I should. I know I shouldn't. I don't like my job, but I hate it. But that looks good. There's more temptation there. All this stuff. It's like a circle. We're just doing this. And God's like, just stay with me. Stick and move with me. And you don't think it's true? How many people you know over the last year, because of that, have been drawn into isolation, desolation, still struggling to come out? Because their allegiance wasn't right. And God said, I'm going to expose it because I love you. Because I want you to learn how to walk on a sure foundation. If he said, you shall have no other gods before me, don't you include that mean? Don't you think that means government? Don't you think that means a political party? You know it means relationships because some of you are thanking God that some of those people in your life are out. Thank God they're out. I like myself more now more than ever because I realize where my help comes from. And I don't want to jeopardize the liking of myself just because I need somebody else to like me. I'd rather have my freedom and the will to choose what's right for me than put myself in a position where I have to bend toward what you want from me, because then it doesn't become a relationship, it becomes slavery. So now I'm enslaved to you and what you want from me. And so I'm not running free anymore. I'm entangled now by your view of me. And when I get entangled by your view of me, I start to change. My identity starts to change. I start thinking about stuff I shouldn't be thinking about. Well, maybe that is good for me. And we start to bend and move in all these different ways that God said, I never caused you to bend and move in that way. I've caused you to look at me. If he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, he means I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Where do I got to go? Through Jesus. That's where I got to go. No, that's the one. No, I know that guy. He's been bothering me for years. Yeah, that guy. But we don't get to that place very often as soon as we should. It takes us going through seasons of emotional deficiency, seeking what we want, pleasure hunting, finally getting to the point where it's like, now I'm ready to give my life up. Yeah, you are, because you're at rock bottom. And God finally looks at you and says, now you're ready. And sadly, and hand up here, that's where we get. Because God knows in the end, what you really want is me. All these things are fleeting. They're fleeting. You do things in your life right now that you didn't used to do. Okay? You didn't used to do. So you prioritize God more now than you did 5, 6 years ago. So there are things you used to like you don't like anymore because God has changed your appetite. So when you used to like vanilla, but that was for that one season, and then God took you through another season of difficulty. Now that's just vanilla. Now you want something different. Now you find out, you know, I'm more Neapolitan. I like the chocolate and the strawberry and all that stuff because God's done a work in your life now. You don't really like that anymore. That was one season. And so what we do is we make decisions, permanent decisions in our life based upon a season. Season. When you know that season's going to be over, you're coming into that. You know that, right? Or you should know that. That what you're in right now is a season. And God wants to bring you out of the season. But what we do is we duck and hide and want to stay in the season. And you can stay in there too long until the life gets sucked right out of you. But what God wants to do is get your head up above the water so you can start breathing again. Catch your breath. And I understand it's complicated. I understand it is. I understand it is. Everyone in here has a different story. We come from different places, and you don't know my story, you don't know mine. But what I do know is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And until you find that way, truth, and the life, you will continue to run after stuff that only brings temporal satisfaction, getting hooked on things that rob you of the true life that he died to give you. You get hooked on it. I refer back to counseling because it was an essential part even in my life to get me to a point to realize there are certain things I got to process through that I'm not seeing right. And we don't talk about it a lot, but the things that you get hooked on that are not healthy for you, and they trace back to daddy, mom. And we don't talk about this in Christian circles because what happens is it's like, he is the way, he is the truth and the life. Let's think about Jesus. Let's spiritualize it. But we're infantile when it comes to our emotional health, and we can't really understand our worth and value because we sing faith, but we don't really walk it. We don't walk it. It's good, but I'm still dealing with this wound right here. It's hitting me. And the reason why it's hitting you, because it's not healed yet. And God says, I want to bring healing to it. And Maria can testify to this. Probably the amount of people that she deals with, they're walking in life with wounds that are still bleeding. And God wants to suture up the wound so that you can actually stand up and worship free of anxiety. Worshiping God for who he is, understanding your worth, not that you don't struggle, but understanding your worth, realizing that I'm rooted now in a different source than I once was. And so if I can't get unhinged or unrooted and allow God to bring some of those things out of me that need to come out, I'll always be sucking on the breast of something that can no longer give me life anymore. And we don't think that God can supply. One of his very names is El Shaddai, the multi-breasted one. I got what you need. He's full. He's got plenty of what you're looking for. But it's complicated. I know it's complicated. But he knows that's why it requires faith. If faith was not needed, you would not be here anymore. But life requires faith. And I have to move through the different seasons of my life with faith. And so what God does, he goes to move your attention from what you were drawing life from to what really needs to be the source of it. And this is hard, especially if your head or your mindset was one way for so long. You know that one area that you keep doing this with? The Lord's like, it's this way, but you keep doing this? What's the one area that you keep turning toward? The God said, we're not doing that no more. So every time you feel that temptation to turn, God says, I'm going to allow you to feel it because I want you to practice fixing your gaze upon me. Because once you do that, you break the power of that off. But you got to pull through it. You don't think that God's going to test you so that you can be free from that. We're lying to ourselves. Because God's trying to pull us away from things that are not beneficial for us, but we got to keep our gaze right. If he's the author and perfecter of our faith, then I know that anytime that temptation comes in, I can resist it as I submit to him and I can get over it because my gaze now is fixed upon him. It doesn't mean there's not a draw, but it means that I'm hooked into something different now. I don't get hooked anymore. Then come on, it's not there. You could try to put the hook in my mouth, but I'll just take it out. See, that's the difference between a mature Christian and a Christian who's not maturing in their faith, is that when the hook comes in, they're like, oh, I know that feeling. And they give into it. When a mature Christian is winning and overcoming, they sense it. I recognize that, but it no longer has power over me anymore. So the pheromone of that thing doesn't attract me to it or entice me to go further. You know what I'm talking about. There are certain things in life that give off pheromones. And it draws on our lust for it. If you don't think you have it, just wait. God's not talking about not participating or doing things that are natural. Let's debunk this myth. There are certain things, and Lord help me, there are certain things that are natural that God says are correct. Love between a man and a woman, God says, is correct. Natural beauty is a thing I created. It's cool, he said. As a matter of fact, each one of you have a beauty about you that God said I've created for a purpose. So the natural attraction that you have between one another, a male and female, I'm saying it, is a natural attraction. Don't take it out of context and try to make it something that it's not. And so when God creates, and I was talking to somebody about this before service, he creates with an intention in mind, and what he does is right. It's right. It's right. if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's not a bear. It's a duck. Despite of what you're telling yourself about who you are emotionally, you are still a male or female. Yeah, that's who you are. I'm sorry, we got to talk about this now. And God has created you with a specific value and worth. It's complicated. I know it is. I'm going to say it again. There are things about your family of origin that you don't tell nobody about. But God knows. And it affects who you are today and what you do. Missy's going to talk a little bit more about this next week. And if we're not careful, we'll blame things on people that God never asked us to assign expectations to. Unrealistic expectations to. It's not until you grow up and you start to heal that you realize that my expectations were probably a little bit unrealistic as a boy. But you don't get that until you grow up and you really begin to find out your worth in your relationship with the Lord. And God said, I never created your mom or your dad to be your lifeline. I never did. As a matter of fact, remember, I came to bring a sword, strong words. Yeah, I came to you to pit you against one another so you don't rely on one another in an unhealthy way. That's why. And you know it is. Anyone who has gotten past any season of their life realize that as they've gone through different seasons of raising their kids, they know that my source and my validation cannot come from my kids. The problem is that we have kids who are raising adults. Because the adult, the mom or dad in the home, is not emotionally healthy enough to be able to raise their own kids. And the kids grow up super fast, but they don't grow up healthy. And so you force a kid to have to bear the weight of your problem, and a six-year-old can't do that. A teenager can't do that because you're dealing with stuff that only God can handle. So until you handle your business, then you'll be able to allow your kids to live. I have a pretty good relationship with my kids. Linda can testify to this. But I realized that early that my validation does not come from whether or not they like me on Saturday. Because on Sunday, they probably will. And we do that. We feel validated once we feel accepted. My kids accept me today. I am validated. Until you tick them off. And you get on their nerves because of something you do, and now they don't like you. If you are swayed back and forth by the emotion of a 14-year-old, we have a problem. A big one. I would say this, even more so, as we grow, and especially as we get healthier in our relationship with her, if we are swayed by people's opinions, there is stuff that is unresolved in you. I'm not saying you can't look at a review on Yelp and say, this restaurant's awesome. Go eat at it. I'm talking about your validation and what you think you should do with the rest of your life. And this is where we get unhealthy in the body of Christ. It's like we want to be in community, and we are in community. That's a big thing of what we do. But then we ask people to start to navigate our direction and our course. And only God charts the course. People can help give you some wind to blow you in that direction, but only God charts the course. So I want you to think about it this way. So when the Bible talks about many are the plans of a man's heart, but the Lord directs the steps, I want you to think about the steps that you have taken to get here. And is your problem really with people Or is it with the road you've had to take to get here? Meaning the road that God has allowed you to walk. And that's hard because people have to wrestle with, why did this bad thing happen to me? And if God is so loving, why me? You have to wrestle with the sovereignty of God and knowing that he can work all things out according to his perfect will and plan for your life. And remember, is his perfect plan and will not the way you see your life? Well, that is not correct. It's not the way you see your life. You saw your life a certain way growing up. It is not that way now, probably. Because things have been redirected and God has charted it a different way. It doesn't mean have anything to do with the dreams that God has placed in your heart. Those dreams are there. God has placed there. The way you get there, that's a different story. I'm going to ride on out in the cloud and I'm going to get there. You're not going on a cloud. You're not going on a cloud. You're going through the wilderness. You're going through affliction. You're going through trial. That's how you're going. That's the way. You're going the way of the cross. Because now you identify with him. You don't identify with yourself anymore. It's no longer I that live, but it is Christ who lives through me. And so that means my road is going to be similar. God will get you there, but he'll get you there on the road that he wants you to take. And when that road is complete, your faith will be perfected to know God in a more personal way. And it will elevate you into a place to be able to speak about that faith because of who God is. Because if you learn to suffer with him, you will also learn to reign with him in the resurrection part of your life. But you have to learn to suffer with him. It's complicated. I know. I know. What does that mean? God loves me, but I have to go through this. I know. Well, it's not fair, but God is right. God is right. And everything that he does, why? Because the foundation of God's throne is righteousness and justice. He is right in everything that he does, and he is just in everything that he does. And to go against that goes against the very foundation of who he is. God's not good. He is good. But you have to see him as good. And deep down, you know who he is. The fact that you are here on October 31st, 2021, is testament to the fact that God is good and that his grace got you past this last year. Where some people didn't make it. You'll get it one day. You'll look back and say, I don't know how he did it. But his grace overshadowed me and that he covered me and I walked through some stuff, but I can't believe that he got me through what he got me through. Why? Because God is good. God is good. And then when you see God is good, then anytime he asks you to walk through another road or just keep walking, you know that he's walking with me. He's still good. I see a lion. He's still good. I see a tiger. I see a bear. Oh my. Like, he's still good. All that, I see all that. It doesn't matter anymore. Why? Because you've already beat the lion. You beat a tiger. You've already beat a bear. And so now it's like, come on, doesn't matter. Well, you got a witch? Come on, bring the witch too. I don't care. Bring them all. Because greater is the one that's in me than he that's in the world. It's complicated. I know. But God is right. Right. So if I am doing things in your life right now that are uncomfortable for you, it's okay. I know what I'm doing. I'm right in what I'm doing. Because if you believe God to be a perfect father, you know that what he does and allows in your life is for your good. Not for my harm. Well, it's causing me to have to grow up. Yeah, I know. It's causing me to have to fight through some stuff and get healthy in my perspective about who God is. Yeah, it is. It's finally got me to the point where I'm able to start shedding things in my life that are not healthy for me anymore. And I got to be honest, it feels really great. I know. All that stuff, God said, I'm just doing it. I'm doing it for you. I'm trying to help you also to see that your sister is not going to do it for you. You can love her, but she's not going to do it for you. She's going to be there for you, but she's not going to give you only what I can give you. We look at things differently, guys, than the world does, correct? We should. So when you look at family relationships according to the lens of Christianity, it is looked through differently than the way the world looks at it. The world looks at it and say, when I lose something, I'm going to grieve. I won't get over it. When you lose something, you'll grieve, but it's in a healthier way because you have a hope. When I feel this way as a Christian, I know I can deal with it because of the fact that I know who lives inside of me and he gives me the strength. When the world looks at it, it's codependency, it's struggle, it's weakness, and they don't know how to deal with it, but you deal with it differently. You should. So you don't stay, you don't stay down longer because you don't have to. If that were the case, then this is nullified. Because the resurrection power of Jesus Christ gives me the ability to get up every single day in the midst of hardship and turmoil and say yes to Jesus and to keep going. No matter what is happening in my life, I can still keep going. Even if it hurts, I can still keep going. Even though I don't know where it's coming from, I can still keep going because of who Jesus is. You have a hope now. There's no reason why that hope should be the thing that's disappointing you. If you are feeling that, it's the wrong hope. It's the wrong one. I'm not talking about the great white hope. I'm talking about Jesus. Because this is what we have. Everyone's looking for it right now. We're looking for it. Where's the hope? Who's the next guy? Who's the next leader? Who's going to come lead us? Who's going to turn this thing around? Jesus! Who's the guy walking around? Just looking. Angry. Who's coming? Who's going to come? Who's going to take? Who's going to rescue? Jesus is going to do it. Jesus. And that's what he's trying to get you to see. I'm going to do it. Okay. But I'm not going to do it the way you want me to do it. I'll do it, though, because I'm right in what I do. And remember, when I do it, I'm not doing it just for here. There's an eternal purpose that I have in mind. That's why it's complicated. Because you are looking at it based upon 70 years of existence here. And God is looking at it based upon eternity and saying, what I do now has eternal, lasting impacts. It's going to impact eternity, not just about here, because you're going to be gone soon. But my word is going to continue to go forth. And I'm going to, so it's not about you, per se. Right? It shouldn't be. It's not fair, but God is right. Because he's placing you for eternity. What does it matter if you live, you're 60 right now, you live another 10 years, 15 years, in the drop, in an instant, eternity is like at your door, like waiting for you. You're not going to miss the 60 years that you had here. Listen. Let's be honest. Some of you closer than others, right? Some of you are. Some of you are. We know that. But here's the difference. Here's the difference. Christ's perspective, I have a hope. World's perspective, oh my God, what am I going to do? You better get in line and follow Jesus. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Well, it's two different people. Their way and your way is different. Man, I can't wait. I have a hope. Their way is I'm freaking out. Let me help you with that. But still, people will argue. But you have a hope. Let's all stand on our feet if we can. Come on up, man. So the power of the gospel, it's foolishness to those that are perishing. It's foolishness. But to those that are being saved, it's something totally different. We're talking about salvation here. We're not talking about something that's just going to happen one time and all of a sudden that's it. Well, God saved us and that's just it. Now, God said, I'm getting you ready for something bigger than you. Bigger than you. Your life is short and it's temporary. He said, let's stop fighting the inevitable. The inevitable is I'm coming back. The inevitable is I'm getting stage ready and it's being set now. The inevitable is that you're going to spend eternity with me. That's inevitable. That's inevitable. You know it. God doesn't all of a sudden change it. It's like God said, I'm changing it. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and things stay the same according to him, he has an eternal purpose. And God said, that will be accomplished. That's not going to change for Maria. That's not going to change. And so for you, it's going to be beneficial for you just to get in alignment. And if you don't get in alignment with it, then it's frustration. Frustration. If God said that there are things in my word that I stand by because I honor my word above my very name, I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to change it. Listen, if what I call natural is natural, he said, it's natural. It won't change. Based upon any type of movement and based upon what anybody else tries to change it like, it won't change. My word will prevail. It will. And I'm telling you this so that you understand that, that God said that when I send my word out, it will accomplish what I want it to accomplish. And so there are things in your life that God said, I want to begin to deal with, and I'm trying to strip away so that you can begin to receive the full life that I called you to receive and stop fighting the inevitable. Stop fighting the inevitable. You will bear fruit. You will. I will set up the government the way I want it to be set up. I will set up your relationships the way they want them to be set up. So the more you hold on, the more you're going to lose. And so if you will just know that the things in your life right now are a big setup, then you'll be more at peace. More at peace. To know that I'm cool. Either way, I'm cool. The quicker that you can get to I'm cool, you'll be cool. The faster that you allow God to do the work in your heart so that you can speak truth, the better you're going to feel. I had this vision the other day. I'm just going to share it with you. That God was pulling up stuff just like this. And it was like a hard substance. Hard. And God was just pulling on it so it would break. I couldn't break it. I'm trying to, but it's like, Lord, I need you to help me break it. It was like, Lord, I'm breaking it. Kept pulling it up out of me. Things that have been in there holding me back. And God said, I don't want them in there no more. Because they're suffocating the life that I've called you to live. And be the light that I've called you to be like. Because there's an assault to hold down the truth that's inside. You don't think truth is being attacked right now. Just take a look. And so, but God said, I'm pulling that stuff up, out. Because I've got to pull it out in order for you to be able to speak when I tell you to speak. And sometimes you don't think you have stuff in there. And I'll tell you even now, from my COVID experience last year, there is still stuff I deal with from it. Still stuff that come up. Man, I still feel, man, it's just not there yet. Still feel. I don't know if it'll ever be there again. I don't know. But still, residual effects. And God said, there is residual effects from your childhood that I'm starting to pull out. And so I'm pulling up all this pressure's in your life for a reason. I'm trying to get that stuff out of you. And the only way it gets out of you, that if it can break, but I can only break it. And the only way I break it is that when it gets to that point, when the pressure's too hot, my spirit will break it. But unless you get to that boiling point, it won't happen. And so you're asking God to do things in your life without pressure. and God just magically will come down and do it without any sort of outside influence. And God says, I don't do it that way. The way I do it is I put you in the fire. I allow you to be in water. I put you in those situations so that you know that I'm with you. And when I'm with you, I'll show you that I can break stuff off you when I'm with you. That's the way it works. I'm not just going to let you. It doesn't just happen, he said. You got to stay with me. But when we're together, I can pull stuff out. But when you hold me at an arm's length, we can't get a lot of stuff done. So allow me to draw you in. And then when we're in relationship with one another, then I can do the stuff. And as you learn to rest in me, I can break stuff off you. But if you're always fighting me about stuff, it's going to be hard. You know how it is when you were a kid and you went to the doctor? You're like flailing everywhere. Like, I don't want a shot. You're tensing up. You know, all this stuff. Don't hurt me. Mom, take him out of here. All this stuff. You're trying to do this. And God says, stop tensing. Tensing. Just take it. Just take it. Just afraid of what it's going to feel like. Discipline when I was 15 was different than discipline than when I was like 7. It didn't hurt anymore. I would catch the stuff that was trying to come at me and throw it. It didn't hurt anymore. What are you doing? Because that stuff didn't affect, that doesn't affect, you got to hit me where it hurts now. It's not physical. You got to hit me where I'm going to hurt, where it's going to really affect me. And God says, I know how to get there. I know how to get there. What used to do it for you, God said, I got something else for you. Because it's about the soul and what God wants to do on the inside. God's not trying to abuse you. He's trying to fix you. But really, the only way sometimes to get fixed is to get rebroken. That's what they do when they reset bones. They reset them so that the bone can grow back better. Better. And so we're trying to do stuff. And this is why God's taking a lot of you through emotional healthy. He's trying to re-break stuff so that he can fix it. So that it's better, so that you grow up stronger, and so that the anxiety and depression that plagued you when you were a kid doesn't do it anymore for you. So when you get around people, you can smile and just hug them and be excited about who you are because you know the chains have been broken in you, and that if he did it for me, he can do it for you. And if God's called you to walk in power, you know that's going to be part of your testimony. That's got to be part of your testimony. You can't be walking around being afraid of people all the time. What are you afraid of people for? If you're supposed, and this is important, if you're supposed to be the church of Jesus Christ that walks in power, if you're supposed to be the church, don't you think that God is going to go to work on his church so you start walking in power? If God looks down and he looks at an emaciated, deficient church, you think he's happy about that? I died for a church that is weak. I don't serve a God who's weak. So if God is trying to build you up and strengthen you, toughen up. Take the hit. Take the hit, man. This is the problem. You're in a woke culture right now. No one wants to get their feelings hurt. You don't want to get your feelings hurt. I'm sorry. Then you're going to have a real problem with the gospel. Yeah. And this is what, and I'm putting you on notice now that this is going to be a thing. If the gospel is not part of who you are in your life, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a thing. I just can't take a hit. I can't. You got to learn to. You got to learn to. I want you to imagine this, and we're going to close here. If you can imagine a running back taking the ball from the quarterback and stopping. Come on. Just give it to me. It's asinine. His job is to take the ball, follow the leader, the blocker, to go where he needs to go. God said, I'm giving you the ball. I'm leading you through. Go. No. Yes, go. There are people, there are giants out there. Yes, go. I've given you the ball. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Go. Go. God said, go. Go. Don't wait. Go. If you hesitate, you're done. Go. But we take the ball, we do this. I see him. That's it. Take the ball this week and go. take the ball. Get up and go. God said, I don't want you retreating anymore this week. I'm going to put something behind you that's going to stop you from looking backwards. And it's going to be uncomfortable. And every time you do it, you're going to know it's me. Anytime you know that there are some, you know what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit's revealing to you right now. The one thing that you know, you start going, you start feeling momentum, but that one thing creeps up and says, and you start to go back. God said, no more of that. I want you to go no matter what the outcome's going to be, no matter what it is. I'm going to lose my identity. That's good. You gain it in me. But you also might find out something about yourself you haven't seen before. Church, God's calling you to move forward. 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 We're in November tomorrow. The word of the year in January was forward. How we doing? How we doing? My challenge to you this week, when you get up tomorrow, you face today head on, proactive. Proactive. You get up and you say, in the name of Jesus, I'm getting up today. I'm doing the thing. I'm attacking the thing today that I know whatever God has for me, I'm going after it today. Today, I'm going after it today. I don't care what it is, how I feel, what's going on in my system. It doesn't matter. I'm going after it today. I don't have all my, you got what you need. You got what you need. And God will throw you out there and say, okay, let's do it. Let's do it. Just to show you that you have what you need to get it. I don't care if it's in business. I don't care if it's in your school, whatever it is. Just get up and get after it. You're the church of Jesus Christ. Stop walking like it's a defeated church. Stop walking backwards like Christ hasn't rose from the dead. Stop trying to placate people's emotions and go back and forth. If God has done it for you and brought you through a season and promoted you, stay out of that. Going back to that season, stay promoted and keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep going. Keep stretching. Keep doing what God has called you to do and allow the grace of God to fill in all the cracks that need to be filled in. But don't wait for it to be perfect. Ideal conditions, guess what? They're here. They're here. It's raining. Good. It's here. It's here. It's time for the church to get up. Sing in the rain. It's snowing. Good. Sled down the slope. It doesn't matter what condition it is. It's ideal. It's never going to be the way you want it to be. It's like, well, it's perfect now. Everything's lined up the way it's supposed to be. God said, just go. And I'll be with you, Father, for every person that's in here. Everyone that's tied up in unhealthy family relationships, ties from the past. I thank you, Lord, that now, today is going to be the start of breaking free from that. Lord, just as you showed me of you pulling up stuff, even in my own life, I pray that you begin to do that to the people that are in here. Lord, strengthen them for the fight that's ahead. Pull up stuff. Break stuff off them. Lord, as they confront issues, as they confront giants, as they come against fear, I thank you that faith is going to prevail because you said that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world, and that faith is a thing that trumps fear. I thank you, God, that that's going to be the mantra of the people that are in this room this week. That when the enemy comes in with his assignments, that they're going to pass the test this week. That they're going to go forth in faith in Jesus' name because they know who they are. And that the enemy is not going to have an occasion to sideswipe them or get them to go back, but they're going to keep moving forward. And even when there's a setback, Lord, they're going to get back up and go because they have a hope. They have a hope that doesn't disappoint. And that's you. Help them to get back up. Help them to be resilient. Help them to know who they are, to strengthen themselves in their most holy faith, to see as they're supposed to see, to know who they are in you. And as they do that, that people will be set free and that chains will fall off them because of the forward movement that they have. God, I pray that we would be known for people who take ground and move forward. There will be a tenacity and a faith and a grit that will be part of your people because they know whose they are in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.